Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled One Master. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Turn with me, please, to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 16. We're going to read our text and go further, as the Lord would help us, into this series we began some time back called One Master. Somebody say, One Master.
One Master.
Luke 16 and verse 10. Luke 16, 10 says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Now this is the second time he's mentioned mammon in this chapter. And mammon is money and wealth and things personified. It's money as a god. If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Keep reading. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Who can do it? No one can do it. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and stuff. You'll hold to one and despise the other. If you try to serve both of them, you'll be frustrated. You'll be agitated because one's going to be getting in the other's way all the time. And at some point, you got to decide which one you want the most and turn loose of the other and go after that one. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, it goes on to say in verse 14, the Pharisees also who were what? Covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. They spoke negatively about what he was preaching. They scoffed at it. And verse 15, Jesus said to them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Does God have a different value system?
Amen.
Different priorities than the world's general way? His thoughts and his ways are higher than those that are accepted generally here in the earth. But thank God, by the Spirit of God, we can have His ways revealed to us. How many want to see things the way He sees them?
Yes.
Pray it out loud. Father God,
Father God,
open my eyes.
Enlighten me
to see things
the
way You see them. That Your values would be my values. Your priorities would be my priorities. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Is that His will?
Yes.
Then you know He heard it.
Yes.
And if you know He heard it, what else do you know according to the Word? You know He's going to do it. So expect it. I said expect it. Tonight, tomorrow, the next day, something will come up and you'll think, whoo, I like that. And God will say, I ain't much on it. How many know He'll talk to you the way you understand? Somebody says, God wouldn't talk that way. If that's the way you get it the best, He communicates to you the way you understand. If the Lord tells you, no, I'm not pleased with that, that's not important to me, then what do you need to say? Right. Now that I look at it again, if you don't like it, I don't like it. Or if you say, whew, now I'm not much on that, and God says, that's important to me. And you go, whew, right. That just went way up on my list. It's, if you like it, I like it. Go with me. Over to the book of 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. He said, this is the Amplified. He said, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we're not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Young's literal translation says that we may not be overreached by the adversary. NIV says that Satan might not outwit us. We're not unaware of his schemes. Complete Jewish says not to be taken advantage of, for we're aware of his schemes. He said in Luke 12, we've been reading too, where he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And the reason the Pharisees got upset about what Jesus said about you can't serve God and mammon is because they were covetous. And covetousness simply means a yearning for more. And the same word has the meaning of fraudulency. Fraudulency. An extortion. And when I first saw that, I didn't see how does that to be covetous means you want something you shouldn't want, or you want something more than you should want it. But then how does that mean the same thing as fraudulency and extortion? In fact, this same word that's translated here, Satan will not get an advantage over you. That same word's translated defraud. Instead of saying get an advantage, we could say it like this, Satan shall not defraud you. Now, how are we to understand that? And it's taken me a little bit, but that's why I'm excited about this. The Lord's answering our prayers and questions about what's Him and what's not Him. One thing He's showing us is who the devil is and how he operates. And if we understand that, then we'll recognize his operations down here and in the things of men, and we'll know if it's him, that ain't God. We'll see that's not him. We certainly don't want to be involved in something thinking it's God and it's actually the devil. Has this happened before? Wouldn't that be defrauding and deception? Now, one of the devil's main tools is deception. Jesus said in John 8 that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. The devil has zero truth in him, and when he speaks, well, if he has no truth in him, when he speaks, it's a lie, because he is a liar and he is the father of lying. He fathered lying, deception. And there is nothing more devilish than deception, than lying. Friend, you and I ought to absolutely despise a lie of any kind. Now, I didn't say hate liars, but hate lying and deception. And I know a lot of people grew up different ways. And sadly, a lot of church-going Christians grew up with a lot of deception in the house and were taught as children to lie. Little white lies that won't hurt anybody. There ain't no such thing. Or to say, well, I just care too much about them. I love them too much to tell them the truth. That's junk. If you're a believer, if you're going to act like the Lord, lying is not an option. It is absolutely impossible for God to lie. Is that true? So if there's lying involved, if there's deceiving involved, then the devil's in it. Now keep that in mind. If deception is involved, The devil is involved. Every time, to whatever degree somebody's yielding to him. And it'd be hard to find somebody in this room or in Sarasota or watching by the internet that's never told a lie. It'd be challenging. I mean, it starts early. 2 years old. You hear the cookie jar rattle. You told Junior not to get into cookies. And you come in there and the cookie jar is on crooked and there's cookie crumbs on the counter. And Junior's there and he's got chocolate on his face. Junior, you been into cookies?
No.
And people laugh. Honey, it ain't funny.
No.
You won't be laughing when they're 16 and lying to you about if they took money out of your purse or not.
Yeah.
Or where they were or what they've been doing. It doesn't get any more devilish than lying. This is so serious, and yet so many people treat it so trivially. And like, well, I guess we all lie some every day. You don't know everybody. And you don't have to lie every day. In fact, you can go for years at a time and not try to deceive one person or tell one lie. I'm not telling someone, I told that, but it wasn't true, so I guess I lied to you. No, if you believed it to be the truth, you weren't trying to deceive them. An error and a mistake is not the same as a lie. We're talking about purposely trying to deceive somebody. That is devilish. And no matter how much you've done it in the past, you ought to want to get rid of it and get it away from you and make up your mind you're going to be a person who's a person of their word and honest and represent the Lord. And you can't be a man of God and a man of a woman of faith unless you make this decision.
Yeah.
It's going to get in the way. I mean, think about Mark 11:23. This describes a person of faith. What does a person of faith have to do? If you will say to this mountain and believe that what you say comes to pass, you'll have what you say. What do you got to believe? Didn't say you got to believe what God says. What do you got to believe? You got to believe what you say. Well, if you're a liar and you know half the time what you say is not true, you're going to have major problems believing what you say. That's why I say you can't be a person of faith unless you're a person of your word. We've all made mistakes in these areas. But listen, let's get it set in our heart. I'm not going to be a liar. In fact, somebody needs to say it right now. I'm not going to be a liar. I'm not going to tell lies. I'm not going to take a part in that which is of the devil.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, One Master, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Sarasota, Florida, on Monday, February 2nd, as we begin the Greater Faith Conference. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.